a big score, you need Silly Underdog Picks.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
It may be a long shot, but it's all you've got. It's time to pick your dark horse.
Not your nose.
This is Silly Underdog Picks.
Brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Silly Underdog Picks. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here. Underdog is here.
Ooh, ooh. There's a need to fear. Hour number three, Darren, Donick, and Chase, live at Pete and Terry's Tavern as the lunch crowd assembles. Good crowd in here, getting ready tonight for the Predators and the Capitals. We're in the Sobro entrance of Bridgestone Arena. 7 o'clock puck drop, a pregame for you starting at 6, and everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe alongside. We say hello to our esteemed panel. We start with the defending champ. Let's go down to Rutherford County. Kelly Holcomb. It's who Baker Mayfield is striving to be, a great Browns quarterback. Of course, now he's a part of Riverdale. His son is a quarterback down there for the Warriors. Kelly, how the heck are you?
I'm good, man. It looks like the Browns still can't get right.
It looks like the same old stuff at times, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think San Francisco's pretty good, though, guys. I mean, they got speed at every position. It's crazy how good they are.
Okay, so when you see Baker Mayfield, what do you see? Rex Ryan called him overrated. He's really good one week and sometimes really bad another week. What do you see when you watch Baker Mayfield?
It's an adjustment to the pro game. I think he's trying to learn the pro game. There were things that he could get away with in college that you can't in the pros. I mean, they're gonna study you. They're gonna keep you in the pocket. They're gonna make you throw the football. And he can throw the football, but a lot of times he misses guys or he's taking off running when he doesn't need to. I think Russell Wilson's one of the best guys ever to do that because he takes off running when it's when it helps him. Not just to take off running to run sometimes. And I think Baker gets he's into that right now. So he's got to get out of that.
I got to be honest. I want to know from a quarterback's eyes, a guy who played the position, that throw Russell Wilson made last Thursday night to Tyler Lockett in the back of the end zone. I mean, there's not very many guys that can make that, is there?
Well, I mean, there was a play where Ben Roethlisberger, I think when they were playing the Arizona Cardinals, and he threw that ball in the back of the end zone. I forget who the receiver was, what his name was.
Santonio Holmes,
and he threw that ball and where only he could get it. I mean, that's a once in a lifetime throw. So, I think I was still playing, and I told our quarterback coach, there's no way that he actually saw that guy that was trying to come and intercept that ball. And he was like, oh, he saw him, and I just don't believe it. I'm still not going to believe it, and that was one of the throws the other night with Russell Wilson. I mean, you just throw it to where you think he's going to be, and, after the ball leaves your hand, you don't know. That's one of those amazing plays that, we've all made them at some point in our life, and you say, I don't know how I just did that.
We'll see if our next panelist has ever caught a ball like that. D-Mace, Derek Mason is on the line with us. D-Mace, have you ever made a catch like Tyler Lockett made last Thursday in the back of the end zone, getting both feet inbounds?
I'm pretty sure I have. Do I remember it? Probably not. But no, I'm pretty sure. I mean, like Kelly said, it's one of those things where, when it happens, you don't think about it, then you go back and watch the film, and you figure, like, man, one, how did the quarterback get it there? Then two, like, man, how did I even make that catch? I guess it's just you're just so zoned in, you don't think about it, when it's actually happened. You don't think about it until you actually see the film of it.
Right. Yep, good point. Forever Titan, Chris Sanders. And I got a text, I guess it was AKA Sunday morning, not Saturday night, whenever he texted me and said, there's a new sheriff in town. So I guess that was directed at Kelly Holcomb. But that was my message from Chris Sanders, that there's a new sheriff in town. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, how y'all doing? Y'all doing all right? Y'all good? Hey, bud.
right?
Yeah,
not as good as you are.
Somebody's very chipper. Somebody's very chipper.
Hey, Kelly, thanks for texting me back too. Appreciate it.
Hey, no big deal, dog. No big deal.
Love you, man.
Girlfriend.
Love you.
Hey, good job.
Love you, man. Appreciate you.
Listen, we laughed at him with that pick, and it worked out.
It did.
Thanks, bud.
Congratulations.
We will get to that in a moment.
Hey, I did this last time. You remember when somebody does something good and they drop the mic? Okay, I'm about to drop the phone so y'all can get a taste of it.
I hope you cracked your screen.
You,
I was.
Is that a landline or a cell phone there?
Or a payphone?
Yeah,
not sure.
It's a work phone.
Usually, we're accustomed to our next panelist getting a patty or manicure or something during this time slot. He's usually not with us, but for some reason, they must be all booked up today around lunchtime. Nick Kale is on the line from Morning Drive. Nick, how are you?
D-Mac, my cuticles have never looked better before.
Such
and
a diva.
By the way, I can too say that I've made a catch like that, like with Tyler Lockett. I did it a couple of weeks ago on the Xbox. I just hit the Y button.
Okay, so you know what that feeling was like.
I do.
Yeah, all right. Okay, with all that being said, I guess this is the part where we have to review.
Yeah,
so
you've stalled long enough, haven't you?
Kamish.
Darren, you want to go get something to drink real quick?
Yeah, let's go order some food here. Willie, the floor is yours.
All right.
I'm awake.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your commissioner speaking.
Oh, yes. So official.
Welcome back to Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. First, let's check our online contest from thegamenashville.com. Once again, a very popular week of play. Let's give you the most popular picks first from our audience. 27%, by far the most popular pick. They took the...
What? I'm sorry, what did you say?
The down at Ole Miss.
I think you were saying the Vanderbilt Commodores?
Yeah, they died with me.
The Vanderbilt Commodores were by far the most popular pick, and they did not score a touchdown. So we know how that one went. The second most popular pick was Virginia Tech, an underdog at Miami, and the Hokies pulled that one out, 42-35. So the audience got a win there by going with the popular pick. And then 16% took Northwestern. It was a dog at Nebraska. Nebraska kicked a field goal on the final play of the game to win. So that was not a win. And that was also a pick from our panel, which we'll get to in a moment. Congratulations to our winner. Scott Anderson from Durham, North Carolina, actually won the whole thing, but not eligible to win the local prize.
Not eligible.
So we went with number two, Troy Hillis from Smyrna, Tennessee. Your neck of the woods, Darren. Do you know Troy?
Is he related to Peyton Hillis?
I mean, he's right around the corner from you. Maybe you need to consult Troy because he had 37 points.
Wow.
And he is heading to the Music City Bowl thanks
Very nice.
To his victory. So congratulations to Troy. Now let's get to the panel. Week 6 started with Nick Kale, who was absent last week. He went into the Big Ten and selected the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, a 12-point dog playing at home against Maryland, which was immediately panned
by me,
by the audience.
I said, that is a horrific pick. That is not going to work. Those were my exact words. Coming from a guy who hasn't picked one right.
Yes.
But didn't really mean much.
You were right on this one. Rutgers got pummeled at home, 48-7.
Good, D-Mace. How are you?
48-7 was the final. So Nick drops to 2-4, and his point total stays at 10.5. So, Nick, the Scarlet Knights, what the heck?
No, I was not like, heck no.
What is going on?
Is Derek going through the drive-thru right now? What's the deal?
No, man. I just got finished working out, man. I'm getting me something to drink.
You got on that James Bond music.
I can't hear y'all anyway, man.
Okay.
So go ahead and crack it up and everything, yeah.
So I'm going to guess Rutgers will not be the pick this week for Nick. Derek Mason had the next pick, and as we mentioned, his went right down to the wire. He had Northwestern, a 7.5-point dog at Nebraska. It was 10-10 on the final play of the game. Nebraska, who missed the game-winning kick earlier in the season against Colorado to give a victory to Chris Sanders, This time they make the kick, and they make a loser out of Derek. 13-10 is the final. Derek, you were right there tasting victory, but you dropped to 2-4. You and Nick, each with 10.5 points each in a tie for third.
Yeah, that was a heartbreaker, man. I thought I for sure had a victory. But you know what? This wasn't in the cards for me last week, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be in the cards for me this week.
Oh. Well, you have the first pick, D-May, so be ready for that.
Absolutely.
Kelly Holcomb continued his strategy with the lead in the contest of playing it short, going for short point gains. He selected Cincinnati, a 3.5-point home dog against UCF, the Golden Knights, as opposed to the Scarlet Knights from Rutgers. And sure enough, the Bearcats continue their impressive season so far under Luke Fickell. 27-24, they win it. Kelly is 5-1, five wins outright. And he goes to 26.5 points. So congratulations to Kelly. He's on fire.
Kelly, great job. Hey, go Bearcats.
Here we go.
Go Bearcats. But I guess I'm going to have to change my strategy a little bit. I don't know how much. I don't know if it'll be this week.
Well, we will get to that in a moment because there has been a little bit of sea change here. But not from Chase McCabe. He had the fourth pick. He went with the Commodores. 7-point dog down in Oxford against Ole Miss. 10-6 at the half. And Vanderbilt brought nothing to the table in the second half. 31-6 the final. Chase drops to 0-6.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you give it your all?
Thanks, Coach.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
As long as he gave it his all.
So, Chase, you have gone down with Tennessee. You've gone down with Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
You've gone down with Middle Tennessee.
By the way, he keeps singing the songs.
I do. I'm going to go ahead and say for the remainder of the year, I will not pick a team out of the state of Tennessee.
You're not going to go local anymore.
No, we're just going to move on.
Venture out.
49 other states. We're going to try those.
Okay.
Well, there's a couple other states you went down in too, but
yeah.
That brings us to Chris Sanders. He selected. How about this? The Stanford Cardinal. 16.5-point dogs playing at home against the Washington Huskies.
Ridiculous.
The week before, he went against the Huskies as well with the Southern Cal Trojans. That did not work, but the second try, the Cardinal not only won, but they won with a sound victory, 23-13, grinded it out in the second half. Washington never really got a chance. So Chris evens his record at 3-3, but more importantly, with the big boost, he vaults into the lead with 29 points after 6 weeks. Chris, congratulations. This is some rookie magic you got going here.
Man, I appreciate it, man. You know, I just played to win the game. You know, excited. I told my mom about it. Got my acceptance speech ready, so good to go.
Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Can he at least bring his girlfriend on the show next time? I mean, can he at least do that?
I mean, do we?
All your picks for you. She's making all your picks for you, dude, so can you at least bring her on the show?
Yeah, she really is making all the picks. By the show, she is. Can't tell them.
Why is he on here then? Why? I know that he's a forever or whatever, but why is he on here?
Yeah, we're a team.
It's a winning team so far.
Yeah,
Nick Kale. I mean, honestly, how did you come up with? I mean, Stanford has looked like poo.
Okay.
All year.
I'm gonna give you a little insight. We took a trip down there about 5 or 6 years ago, and when they played a big team, they played home. They tend to play well. On the road, they play terrible. So I knew that they were going to play well because this is a big game for them. I knew it.
I got to be honest. This just feels like
With the backup quarterback.
I feel like you're at the horse track and you're like, oh, I like that name. Or that jockey's got pretty colors.
No, it just feels
like that. Or that's my lucky number. Hey, I'm going with that horse.
Darryl, you might need to do that because how many wins you got?
All right.
Maybe I should try that.
You know I have no comeback, so throw your darts. Yeah.
I think Chris should bring his girlfriend on the show because, you know, at this point we've never met her. Okay. We don't even know if this lady exists.
Wow. You said she's a blow up doll.
No, I'm just saying. You know, like maybe she should come on.
Blow-up
I don't have a comeback for a blow up doll.
So it's a side note with Stanford with the backup quarterback. Why were they a 16.5-point dog? They had their backup quarterback in. He went 21 for 30 for 293 yards, and then of course the Stanford Cardinal have a running back named Cameron Scarlett who rushes for 151 yards, and they win. So Chris is in the lead. That brings us to Darren McFarland. He went with West Virginia, a 10.5-point dog. National spotlight, big game, great crowd, Morgantown against the Texas Longhorns. And it was your typical Big 12 up and down the field, but the Mountaineers got outgunned 42-31. And Darren, you're 0-6.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry.
I watched a lot of it. I mean, they hung around for a while.
We were monitoring our games at Bridgestone Arena, and we both, you know, felt sorrow together.
Yeah.
Felt sorrow. All right, so after 6 weeks, Chris Sanders in the lead, 29 points. Kelly Holcomb, 26.5. Then Nick Cale, Derek Mason, 10.5. Chase and Darren together at the bottom. Nowhere to go but
up. So we are 29 points away from the leader?
Yeah.
Yep. That's what it amounts to.
Okay.
But, you know, we're not even halfway through. Not even halfway through. So when we come back on the other side, the Week 7 picks from our panel. From here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at the Solboro entrance of Bridgestone Arena, this is the Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Week number 7 is about to begin. This is your commissioner, Willie Donick, speaking.
Hello, commissioner.
Here is the order of picks. Derek Mason will have the first pick, followed by Kelly Holcomb. The third man in the order will be Chase McCabe at 0-6. The leader, the new leader, Chris Sanders, picking fourth. Darren McFarland, also 0-4, picking fifth. And then the rookie Nick Cale will be in the sixth hole. So let us begin, and I will say for a second straight week, we are on site, and so we will go with CBSSports.com as the official line. And, Kelly, I hope you're not complaining because you keep winning the picks when we've used this site. So I don't want to hear it. But somehow I think I'm going to. So all silent from the panel. Hey, everybody's happy. That's unusual. No snipes at the commissioner. So with that, let's turn it over.
I was going to say something. I didn't know. Hey, I talked to George. I talked to our boy George Plaster yesterday, and he said through by proxy that he was with me anything I said about you. So something up, all right? So I'm sure this week will be no different.
So every time I hear from you, I'm actually hearing from two people. It's a stereo.
Right, no,
I'm hearing it in stereo. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to Derek Mason, who will make the first pick of Week 7. With his backup band, Eddie and the Cruisers.
Yes. You know what? I'm going for a big chunk. I'm going for a big play. I'm going for
here we go.
Your boys.
Here we go.
Go Sparty.
I'm going for an explosive play right here. We need
Sparty.
A big. We need a big.
Sparty.
I am taking the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers.
What?
Over Indiana. Oh. Rutgers is not as bad as their records indicate, and Indiana is not as good as their record indicates. So I'm going with Rutgers.
You realize Rutgers doesn't have a coach.
It don't matter.
The players.
I am the coach, okay? I'm going with Rutgers. I need the points. I'm going big. Go big or go home, okay?
27.5?
Look, I expect this out of, you know, Darren, who's on some pretty good pain meds, but D-Maze, come on.
You realize they just got helmets last week at that program.
Rutgers lost all four of their losses were against ranked teams, basically. Maryland, they lost to two other ranked teams there. And Indiana lost to Michigan State and Ohio State, and they beat some bombs. So, I'm thinking Rutgers to win this one.
Rutgers has lost to Iowa, Boston College, Michigan, and Maryland. They beat UMass.
Exactly. You're talking, at the time, four ranked teams they lost to.
Okay.
All right.
Rutgers, undaunted. Mace, undaunted. by the fact that Rutgers got clubbed last week 48-7. They are a 27.5-point dog on the road in Bloomington, Indiana, against the Hoosiers. Okay. Very intriguing pick because, Derek, this could vault you into the lead. You get this. It changes there. It's a game changer. That brings us to Kelly Holcomb. Kelly Holcomb has the second
pick. By the way, if this hits, we are drug testing you next week.
Darren, just be glad you're not being drug tested this week because you would fail.
I probably would. You're right.
All right, so Kelly Holcomb at 5-1, but falling back into second place. Let's see the strategy this week as he takes the podium.
He's probably going to do like a 2 or 3 point game this week, feeling the heat. Country road.
Okay, Mitch, I need you right now because I need to know a point spread because since we're going with the CBS, I'm not on that. So,
okay.
I need to go with the most obscure game that's on the board, and that is the Louisiana Monroe-Texas State game. What is the point spread on that?
3.
It is 3. Okay. All right. So we're going to go with it. We're going to go with the L. McPherson Texas State Armadillos.
That's tonight. Tonight.
Tonight.
On ESPNU.
I'm going to say they had 2 weeks to prepare for Louisiana Monroe. Short week for Louisiana Monroe, so I'm going to say that the Bobcats, I wish it was the Armadillo, but the Bobcats of Texas State beat Louisiana Monroe tonight.
Isn't that the Texas State is the team that was in the longest yard, right? That's a prison team, right?
I just remember L. McPherson kicking field goals for the Armadillos back in the day.
That was necessary roughness.
That was unnecessary
roughness. That's right.
That was necessary roughness.
Necessary roughness, yeah.
It was not L. McPherson either. It was Kathy Ireland.
It was Kathy Ireland.
Let's get our swimsuit models correct.
It wasn't L. McPherson. It was Kathy Ireland. You're right. That's who I'm going with, guys. Texas State.
Now that you've learned this new info, do you want to change your pick?
No, I do not. No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
The Texas State Bobcats. And by the way, Kelly gets big props for knowing that they were the Bobcats because I don't think I did. And they are a 3-point dog.
Google's a great thing.
Playing at home. Against the UL Monroe Warhawks.
Warhawks.
And remember the Monroe Doctrine at all times during this game. On ESPNU tonight, UL Monroe. That brings us to Chase McCabe, who has the third pick of Week 7. Because lonely guys come here, never broke my heart. Locking down a race of football teams.
Baseball teams. They've done that too.
Yeah. it's been a rough
48 hours for Chase. The 10-run first yesterday. Holy
we're going to turn it around. I say that every week.
You going to sing it?
No, I'm not singing it. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Are you going deep? You going deep? Derek Mason?
I'm not going that deep. But
Bowling Green, they're 26.5.
I'm not going that deep.
Underdog.
But
you're not going local.
I'm not going local. I am going south. Give me the Florida Gators plus 13.5 to LSU.
The Florida Gators, who are 6-0 and ranked number 7 in the country, are a 13.5-point dog playing down low in the Bayou against the 5th-ranked and undefeated LSU Tigers. A big test to see for real the Gators are. Did anybody have that one as a possible pick?
Nope.
Not believers.
That's negator.
Not believers.
Negator.
I mean, what?
How many 6-0 teams can you take as a 13.5 point?
What do I have to lose here? I mean,
another game.
You exactly. Could go to, so,
as Kelly pointed out to you guys last week, if you can go 0-6, you can go 0-7.
Well, there you go.
So that's what you have to lose. All right, let's go on to the next pick. The big story in the competition so far, after the Stanford Cardinals' huge upset of Washington. Chris Sanders in the lead. He has the fourth pick. Let's see what he's got up his sleeve this week.
Well,
guess what? This is what I'm going with. I'm going with Oregon State over Utah.
Hmm.
Are you kidding me, man? Nope. I'm telling you, if this hits, you've got to be kidding
Oregon
me.
Oregon State over Utah.
Chris Sanders, for a third consecutive week, goes out to the Pac-12.
14 points?
Yep, 13.5.
No, it's 14.
It's actually 14.
Oh, it went to 14? Oh, okay, good.
So Oregon State is a 14. The Beavers hosting the number 15 Utah Utes. And they are a 14-point dog.
Going to be sick if this
if
hits.
He that
it's
would
over.
Be 30.5 points over 2 weeks. That would be right up there with the top ranked back to back wins if it happens.
Go, baby.
So Oregon State
is your girlfriend from the Pac-12?
No. actually, she's an Alabama fan. That's the crazy part.
Well, you can't pick any of their games.
A&M over Alabama, but no, we wouldn't be friends that.
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to Darren McFarland looking for his first win, and he has the floor.
Indian Fever. It starts from the very first inning. Indian Fever. Each game is a brand new beginning. It's the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel when we win. So catch Indian Fever.
Fever, be a believer in the Indians. All right, this
just
is
brimming with enthusiasm.
This is unprecedented. Okay, when you're in a funk, and I'm just—I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to stay with them. I'm going to hang in there and give it another whirl, another whack at it. I'm going to stay in West Virginia, and I'm going to take the Mountaineers again. At home. Against Iowa State. And the 10 points. Give me the 10.
West Virginia, for a second straight week, playing at home as a dog. 10-point dog against the Iowa State Cyclones. Interesting pick. I am a little surprised it's 10 with them playing at home.
Me too.
I don't know. What's up there? Why is Iowa State solid, but they're not. Any great shakes, right? 10-point dog at home. I mean,
it was 10.5 against
an
11th-ranked Texas team.
Yeah.
And now it's 10 with an unranked Iowa State team?
Yeah. Intriguing. Is there some injuries that – remember there was that time where you picked TCU and then the quote came out that our 7th-string safety's in the game?
Yeah.
Because we have no safeties?
Yeah. That did happen.
Sometimes that information does come out. All right, that brings us finally. He's been waiting patiently. He's been sitting back. He's been absent. He's been kind of a mystery man the last couple weeks. And it hasn't helped him in the standings, let's be honest. Nick Cale, the rookie, with the final pick of Week 7.
Did last week with Rutgers.
All right, boys, let's get it going. I'm back. And I need to hulk up. And I got to tell you, I can't believe that I'm picking dead last, and I am sixth in this contest this week. And the Texas Longhorns have not been selected.
I took them last year, and it worked. I got to be honest. It got me back in the contest. I took them last year, and it worked.
Well,
in the
what
spot.
Number do we have, Kamish?
It's 10.5.
The Red River
the
Shootout.
Longhorns.
I think last year it was 7. I think the line was 7 last year, and I hit with it. I don't know. Texas is getting their players back, too, so I don't know. I like it.
Texas is a 10.5-point dog in the Red River Shootout against the Oklahoma Sooners, as Darren referenced, an amazing game last year. Back and forth. Texas jumped way ahead. Kyler Murray made some incredible plays to get Oklahoma back in it. Now it'll be Jalen Hurts in his first chance playing in the Cotton Bowl, which down the road, the Predators and the Stars will be going head-to-head on January 1st. So exciting game ahead Saturday at 11.
I like it. Look, I had it. It was either going to be Texas, West Virginia, or, yeah, those two I like the most.
All right. It is time to review the picks for Week 7, Silly Underdog Style. The contest brought to us, of course, by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. So, let's review. Derek Mason, the first pick of Week 7, goes to the Big Ten and goes for the bomb, goes for a game changer, goes for the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, coming in at 1-4 and coming off a 48-7 thrashing last week at home. This week, they're a 27.5-point dog on the road at Indiana. Derek says Indiana's not for real. They can't get it done. Rutgers will go in and pull the upset. We will have a story if that one wins. Next up, Kelly Holcomb, defending champion, falling back into second place, but staying with the strategy, short, controlled gains, goes into the Sun Belt and selects the Texas State Bobcats, a 3-point dog, playing at home against the UL Monroe Warhawks. That game does not have top billing on ESPN this week. It will be played tonight, though, on ESPNU, so you can keep an eye on it. Chase McCabe, picking third.
By the way, that's where we are in today. That game is on television.
It is on television.
Like,
yeah.
There was a time that you couldn't get that on the radio, that game. Now it's on television.
Would that have meant that you couldn't pick it in Silly Underdogs?
No. No, the general.
I think the only rule is
the general used to pick games. We'd have to search for the score.
Yeah. We do have to verify that Texas State has stands on both sides of the field, though, because that was a rule put in years ago. I'm assuming that is the case at Texas State, because they do love football down there. Chase McCabe, looking for his first win, selects the Florida Gators, a 13.5-point dog, despite being undefeated and ranked 7th in the country, as they travel to take on Ed Orgeron and the LSU Tigers, a pair of undefeated teams. Chris Sanders, coming off the huge win in the Pac-12 from the Stanford Cardinal, says, why not? Let's go for it again. He's in the lead in the competition. And he'll take this week the Beavers of Oregon State, a 14-point dog, playing at home against the 15th-ranked Utah Utes. Then finally, not finally, second to last, Darren McFarland selects for a second straight week West Virginia. This week a 10-point home dog against Iowa State after being a double-digit dog last week and losing to Texas. Darren says the second time will be effective. And then finally, Nick Kale from Morning Drive, absent the last 2 weeks, trying to get back into the competition, goes to the Red River Shootout, an often-picked game in our competition over the years. The Texas Longhorns are a 10.5-point dog facing their arch rival, the Oklahoma Sooners. Remember, you can play our contest by going online, thegamenashville.com. You get to pick 3 games each week, and we have the weekly prizes. We announce them every Thursday at noon. Those are the picks for week number 7 in the Silly Underdog Contest. And gentlemen, good luck.
Whatever.
Yeah, I had to say that, whatever.
Guys, have a great week. Good luck on Friday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sure, thank you. Bye, fella.
See you guys.
Forever Titan, Chris Sanders, Kelly Holcomb, D-Mace, Nick Kale, both of them from Morning Drive, every day 6 until 10 a.m. That'll do it for this week's installment of Silly Underdog Picks. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase live from Pete and Terry's Tavern, ESPN 102.5, The Game. All right, little Doors bringing us back from the break. Good atmosphere here in Pete and Terry's Tavern. Good lunch crowd. Indoors and outdoors. And we are enjoying the great food here. If you're downtown, you're looking for a place to hang out for lunch, this is your spot. I'm just telling you. Good food, good atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely. And we have news. According to Pork and Bean Jones on Twitter, I have been designated for assignment, and Jared Stillman has been placed on the active roster after hearing that I picked Florida in Silly Underdogs. I don't think that's accurate, but apparently I'm being designated for assignment. He doesn't like that pick. I'm desperate.
I noticed a lot of people went high.
Yep.
Had a lot of big games picked. No chipping away. A little too, other than Kelly. Everybody, think about it. We got a 27.5-point game.
Which is silly.
13.5, 14, 10, and 10.5. And like I said, Kelly's little three-pointer.
But you know what's funny is Kelly takes a little three-pointer, but that's what's worked for him. Now, he's going to have to get a little more creative if Chris continues to hit these big.
Well, if he hits Oregon State, he'll be forced to throw downfield.
Right. But, you know, I like your pick of going West Virginia. I thought about that again. I thought about Texas, but I'm like, desperate times call for desperate measures.
So Vandy's got a layup game against UNLV. I mean, if they don't beat UNLV at home, then, you know, I don't know what we're talking about the rest of the year. So they're going to get their second win of the season. Now the question is, in Knoxville, the Vols are a 7-point underdog at home to Mississippi State.
Yep.
This is not Dak Prescott and Dan Mullen as the head coach and quarterback. Okay, this is not Jeffrey Simmons on defense. Which, by the way, I should have brought this up to Terry. We covered a lot of ground when you went downstairs. Jeffrey Simmons sounds like he's getting pretty darn close.
We talked about that.
To coming back.
We talked about that the last couple days.
And what that could do for them. Now, I don't know how much he can contribute, but if you remember, Sean Evans, it took him about, you know, second half of the season to get going.
Yeah.
And who knows if there is an important stretch run for them in the final 4 to 6 games.
Yep.
Let's hope that there's stuff at stake and it's important. Who knows what he could do for them?
I don't think he makes a huge impact right away, but what I think it does do...
That would be a little naive
to think,
right?
What I think it does do is, if you're a team and all of a sudden you see Jeffrey Simmons is in the lineup, and whether they're rotating him in and out and using him in certain packages, even though you know, okay, well, he's been hurt, he didn't have training camp, he just got back to practice, this is his first game, he's a rookie. Into the back of your mind, you're like, okay, he's probably not going to do too much, but you can't ignore it. So it does add that sense of they're going to have to, you know, game plan him, you know, for him, and that could open up some opportunities for somebody else. So to be able to make a play. So it doesn't help you a ton, but at least it's like, all right, the first round pick's in there. Who knows what he can do? And then, as you said, you know, like Rashawn Evans, it took him a while to get his legs under him. If that happens, and then the last 3-4 games of the season, all of a sudden Jeffrey Simmons is starting to feel it, and he's starting to play like you need him to play, then that's just another weapon you can use down the stretch. So it's encouraging that apparently he is ahead of schedule and looking like he could come back next week and be activated and start practicing.
Yeah. We had a little fun with the Redskins and Dolphins, talking about that game. I was looking at Jimmy Shapiro, okay, betonline.ag. They actually have...
Do they have a tie on?
Yes, yes, there is actual odds if that game will end in a tie. We had fun with that. Yes is a plus 1,200, so 12-1 on
I'd throw a little something on that.
Minus 2,500 for no, so 1-25 on no, but 12-1 for... Yes, it would end in a tie. That's not crazy odds.
No, and good value there. So, I mean, who knows? Like I said, I'm not going to watch that game. But I think it would be hilarious.
How about this one? Will the Dolphins score a point in the second half of this game? You know why they're asking?
Because they haven't in a while.
Listen to this. No, listen to this. This is amazing. The Dolphins have been outscored 81-0. So far in the second half of this season.
Yeesh.
Let me just repeat that.
81-0.
The Dolphins have been outscored 81-0 in second halves this season.
That's bad. I can't imagine what it would be like playing for that team and knowing that, hey, we're not very good. We're pretty much tanking for Tua at this point. Trying to get better for the future, but this season doesn't necessarily matter. That is I couldn't do that because I'm too competitive. Like, I can't imagine what the guys in that locker room. Some have asked for trades.
First of all, they're not tanking for Tua. The players are not tanking for Tua. They don't give a crap about that.
Right.
The organization can tank for Tua by surrounding them with crappy players and trading all their good players away done.
That's what they've done. So.
Right, and
you can look at it either way.
Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen, who are the worst quarterbacks in the league, as your quarterbacks.
Awful.
So the players are not tanking for Tua. They don't give a two you-know-whats about Tua. They're not interested in that. They got their own future to worry about. But the organization can certainly set it up for failure. But to
they've done a good job of that. To
know that they have been outscored 81-0 in the second half this season is unbelievable.
It's just a, that's unbelievable.
Really? As Willie puts on his headset, let me give you a stat of the day.
Stat of the day?
Miami has been outscored. There is a line. I was reading Jimmy Shapiro lines because we were having fun with the Redskins and Dolphins tying.
Jimmy!
By the way, the game ended in a tie is only at 12-1.
In other words, these teams just cannot be capable of winning.
Right, that's not crazy odds for a game to end in a tie, 12-1. But it said one of the other odds was, will the Dolphins score a point in the second half of this game? And you're like, well, that's ridiculous. Like, what a silly prop bet. Well, when you know that the Dolphins have been outscored 81-0 in the second half this season, there's a reason why that's a prop bet.
Okay. Okay, that's
they have not scored a point in the second half of any game this season.
Yeah. That's not good.
Unbelievable.
And by the way, I think this is the debut because they've got prop bets on it. Is this not the debut week of Rob Gronkowski, Gronk in the booth?
Is it happening that quick?
Yeah.
Are they throwing
him
right in there?
He's on the pregame show tonight on Fox and halftime.
Oh, so he's doing pregame and halftime tonight?
Yep. He will be in Times Square while the game goes on in Boston.
Okay, so here's some prop bets with that being said for Max. Here's some prop bets. Will Gronk spike the ball on air tonight? Yes is 9-4.
Really?
No is minus 350.
I mean, I know he's got he's got some great spikes, but you know, it's not like he's the only guy that's ever spiked a ball. I would think, to me, that's not a thing. I would say no. Of course, somebody's got to do is call up, hey, Gronk, got a little action on you spiking the ball. Can you guys figure that out? Can you get that done for me?
It does make you wonder, like, right?
Like,
how,
that's dumb. Like, you shouldn't have prop bets on that.
Sure, but I'm sure, though, for stuff like this, that you could actually, if you had that ability, I mean, it's there's very few people, right, that have that ability. Like,
but he knows a lot of people.
Yeah, but I mean that could actually influence it. Like I'm sure there's like the, when you have stuff like this out there, usually they have a minimum.
Yeah.
Or a maximum. Like the most you can do is like $1,000 or something. They won't let you just walk into a sports book, and say I want $100,000 on Gronk spiking the ball.
Yeah, there's usually a cap on it. But I'd say maybe. I'd say maybe so. But he'll do it.
Let's be 100% honest here. If you're betting on that with no knowledge and you just think it's fun, you might have a problem.
Yeah.
You might have a problem.
Or you maybe do have a problem. Or you just think that you have a good gut feeling that could happen. Right? One way or the other.
1-800-GAMBLER.
Will Christian McCaffrey break the NFL yards from scrimmage record this season?
What are the odds?
Yes,
I'd say
yes is 5-1.
Okay.
How many yards?
No
does he have to get?
Is minus 1,000. The NFL record is
yards
yes.
from scrimmage, right?
Yards
so it's
from
rushing,
scrimmage.
Receiving, not the not return yards.
Do you know who holds the current record?
Is it LT? LaDainian Tomlinson?
That is a great guess and incorrect.
Chase?
Who holds the from yards from scrimmage?
Yes. Come on, the next one will be, right? You got to go Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, that's...
Marshall Faulk?
No, it's not him. But, I mean, you got to... LaDainian Tomlinson, Marshall Faulk.
But you could get like...
Curtis Martin.
Is it... Okay, let me
those
ask you this.
Type of guys.
Is it somebody that had 2,000 yards rushing in a season?
Answer, yes.
Okay.
Barry Sanders?
Barry Sanders would be a very good guess, right?
Yeah.
He's got to be on that list. No.
Adrian Peterson?
Nah.
Chris Johnson?
Adrian Peterson. The answer is CJ 2K.
Is it?
Chris Johnson in 2009, 2,509 yards.
Wow.
2,509 yards is the current NFL record yards from scrimmage. McCaffrey is on pace for 2,771.
Well, he just had such a monster game last week. Just unbelievable.
Did he break Derek's record? Because didn't Derek have...
Well, Derek had it, but you had to return return yards.
He had all purpose.
This does not have... This is, yeah, that's all purpose. All this purpose. Is yards from scrimmage.
Wow.
See, that's interesting because CJ was not known as a great receiver.
No.
So he had the bulk of those on the ground, but he had a couple of long ones. Remember, there was one where they forgot to pick him up, and he got like a 90-yard touchdown pass? Yeah. I think that was that year.
Little screen.
No, that was here. That was against the Texans.
That wasn't the year that he had
2000? It was about a 50, 60-yarder.
Well, still.
You're right.
A big chunk.
No one was – he just goes out to the left side. Nobody goes
Nobody
out there
picked
with
him.
Nobody.
But he still only had like 400 and something yards receiving. It's not like McCaffrey, who could easily have 1,000 receiving yards to go with however many gets. That's why I was thinking LaDainian Tomlinson, because he would get 1,500 rushing and then another 700-800 easy on the ground, seemingly anyway.
Right.
All right, last thing. I want you guys to try to nail down these seven teams. They've got seven teams that have odds to get the first overall pick. So just... Willie started off. Just go back and forth.
Well, the Dolphins by number one.
Next.
Redskins.
Dolphins one, Redskins two. Next.
Well, let's see. Who else is tanking?
I'll put it this way. I don't agree
the
with
the Jets.
Her. It's Jets, but they're once they get everybody, Darnold and all them back, they're not going
to. Well, Darnold's supposed to be back this week.
Yeah, so they've
that
got
won't keep
Jets
the Jets fans from cheering for a tank.
No, but they're third.
Cincinnati.
Bengals are fourth. Now this is where it's going to start getting tricky.
You might have a team that has a win here. Arizona.
Arizona is seventh.
Atlanta.
Atlanta is sixth.
No way. Atlanta ahead of Arizona?
I know. Arizona, definitely. I don't agree with Arizona being seven. You haven't named five guys.
Five guys? You mean the...
we just ate, so I'm not even really that hungry.
I don't have the list of the teams in front of me. The Giants?
Great guess. No.
No?
Great guess. No.
The Pittsburgh Steelers?
Great guess. No. There's a reason why I'm bringing this up.
The Broncos?
The Denver Broncos.
Huh. They're fifth.
So the Falcons, who the Titans have already played, that's one of their wins. The Broncos, fifth on this list. Who's up next? Got to be honest, that's what's a little scary about the Titans right now.
Yeah.
They're 2-3, and oh, by the way, those the Chiefs and the Saints and those other really good teams, they haven't played yet.
No, and that's what
Texans twice.
Yeah. We talked about earlier. That is what could sting at the end of the season is the missed opportunity. It's not that they're 2-3 because the record itself isn't that bad. You're still in it, but missing the opportunities that they've sort of left on the table against what we think are middle-of-the-road teams, right? The Colts, Bills still, I don't know. And then the Jags, you know, they've lost to three teams that don't wow you.
When you say they should be something, I mean, we would agree they should be 3-2.
They
should have beaten Indy.
You can sit there and go they could be 4-1 because both home games they had right in the palm of their hand. But being realistic, I think they should have gotten one of those two.
Yeah,
I'd feel okay about where they are if they're 3-2.
Yep. But
2-3, it's one game difference, but you know,
at the end,
it's going to come down to one or two games at the most.
Fourth and final hour, we kick it off with Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. That is next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.